tonight. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. Amen. Again, thank you for being here today. 1 John chapter number 3. Now, 1 John is not the first book of John. 1 John is toward the book of Revelation. There's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, then Jude, and then the book of the Revelation. But 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. All right, I'll make sure we're all there looking on, if at all possible. Amen. All right, listen to these words. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. But behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Man, that verse there just ought to stop us in our tracks anytime we come to it. That's exactly its intention. Here he starts out with this chapter, behold. It means to give attention to look upon. Behold. Behold. Pause for a moment. Stop for a moment. And behold. Behold what? What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Stop and pause and gaze upon, look upon this. What manner of love that the Father bestowed upon you and I. So much so that we would be called the sons of God. Anytime we enter into the subject concerning the love of God, it is most definitely deep waters. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 107 there, where it talks about those that go into they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Man, when you get into the deep waters, if you will, of God's amazing love, it's not long till we've, in essence, charted that course for the deep things of God. But in so doing, if we behold that, then we will behold His wonders in the deep. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The love of God surpasses all human intellect. It makes no sense. It makes no sense that God would love you and I. Those that do not feel that way, you'll never understand the depth of His love. Often we feel deserving of God's love. You don't understand it. We must behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It surpasses all human intellect. Remember a chorus of a song, "The love of God defies all understanding of the mind. It chose to walk up Calvary's hill and die for all mankind. Those ugly scars He bore for me while hanging on that tree was was the price of my redemption. And He did it all for me. It surpasses all human intellect. It surpasses any and all earthly examples of it. The closest I think we could even imagine would be the love of a mother for a child. But it far surpasses even that love. Why? Because human love is just that. It's human. And as such, it's faulty. And it is fleshly. But the love of God is supreme. It's unwavering, never diminishing. And while extended to a people that for the most part will reject it, will rebel against it, refusing to accept it, John draws our attention to this love here. In 1 John 3, verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. In here we see the word behold, and the word behold is defined as something to be looked upon. I put in my notes here the question, when was the last time you took some time? When was the last time that you took a little time to ponder God's love? And I'm not talking about the extent of His love. I'm not talking about necessarily how much He loves you. I'm talking about the very fact that He loved you to begin with. We are unlovable. And yet God loved us. I'm talking about the fact that He loved us at all. His love is unexplainable. Why? Because it's undeserved. His love is indescribable. His love, however, is undeniable. He loves us. I don't know why, but He does. Again, when we talk about beholding this love, the word behold means to look upon. What do we look upon? I'd recommend look upon His holiness against our unholiness. I recommend you might consider His worthiness against our unworthiness. You might consider His righteousness against our unrighteousness. You might consider His selflessness against our selfishness. Behold, what manner of love. When I think about those words, what manner of love, it is the limitless qualities of God's love. Behold the manner of love. Behold the manner of love, the limitless qualities of God's love. When you consider the limitless qualities of His love, we're looking at the amount of His love that was shown to you and I. The Bible tells us there in 1 John 4, verse number 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. He loved us. It's the manner of love. That God would become flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Behold, what manner of love. That God would make a way that our sins could be forgiven. And that only way was to give His only begotten Son, Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. In this I see the level of His love, that holy, sovereign God would not only show affection toward us, but that He not only would show affection toward us, but is willing And yea, inviting to be identified with us. You think the love of God blows your mind? You just consider the fact that God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. Never forget Dr. Ron Garris, old prison preacher, said it like this. He said, God not only loves you, but He likes you. I love that. As a prison preacher, this was his illustration. He said, a prisoner might tell me, preacher, I know that you love me and you don't want me to die and go to hell. I know you love me. I know you love me and you're concerned about my life as it is in association with Jesus Christ and the faith. I know you love me. He said, but preacher, do you like me? Do you like me enough that we could communicate back and forth? Do you like me enough that I could come to your home and sit down and we could fellowship and enjoy a meal? Do you like me? There's a difference, isn't there? And I tell you this morning, the love of God is such that it does not stop at His love. He not only loves you, He likes you. Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What love. This morning I want to give you four simple truths that I found concerning God's love. Four truths. Number one, His love is a so love. It's a so love. John 3:16, we read it often, memorize it, and not really consider its meaning. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't just love the world, He so loved the world. The Son of God was given. We see there in Isaiah chapter number 9, many people referred to this scripture over our Christmas holiday, how that He said, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's a so love. He so loved that He gave His Son for you and I. He so loved, not only was a son given, but a servant was willing. Jesus Christ came to serve His Heavenly Father, but He came to also serve us. The Bible says in Philippians 2, He took not on Him. Let me back up and read that. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was God so loved that He gave His Son, and Jesus so loved that He was willing to be a willing servant. It's a so love. So love, thirdly, that there was a sacrifice for killing. We needed a blood sacrifice. We needed something that was better than bulls and goats, because they can never take away sins. They were a pattern of the true temple in heaven, the true tabernacle in heaven. Jesus was that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus gave His life. Now listen to this. Jesus laid it down. Nobody took it. You understand that? You understand? Jesus, He could have called as many angels as He wanted to. Amen? Remember when they come looking for Him in that Garden of Gethsemane? He said, we see Jesus. And he said, I am he. And when he said that, they all fell down backward. Yes. Don't think for a moment that they took him.
Right.
He gave his life. He said in John 10, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. It's a soul love. Because a son was given. A servant was willing. And a sacrifice for killing. Behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. Don't kid yourself, nor cheapen God's love, God's great love, by associating it with some earthly comparison. God did not just love you, He so loved you and me. Romans 5:7, we get that illustration. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Three types of people. Give me you three guys, Isaac, Chad, and Chris. I'll use you three. Just stand right here if you would. He's making the analogy in Romans chapter number 5. And he's wanting you to grasp, if you will, how much God loves you. He says this. He says, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He said, you don't hear about it often, but scarcely, it happens from time to time. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. And he goes on to say, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. In other words, the choices made to die for these two are based on his righteousness. He's a good man. He's worthy that I die for him. He's a good man. I'd be willing to die for him. So scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But what he wants you to understand is, if I move these over a little bit, is this right here. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See what he's driving home? Our unworthiness. Our unworthiness. It's a soul love. He so loved us. Amen. Y'all can be seated. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not cannot be compared to human love. Number one, I said it's a soul love. Number two, and I'm really going to move on. I like this. How about this? It is an even though love. I like that. You don't know what I mean, but I know what I mean. Amen. When I think about even though, I'm talking about he loves me when I'm up and he loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm in. He loves me when I'm out. He loves me when I'm winning the victories. He loves me when I suffer defeat. He loves me when I'm on the winning side and when I'm on the losing side from time to time. He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I'm faithful. He even loves me when I'm not. It's an even though love. It's a love that's not changed or not altered by any act that I may commit. It's not only a soul love, it's an even though love. His love never faileth. For I am persuaded, Romans chapter number 8. For I am persuaded, he said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is an even though love, even though I may not be all I should be, even though I may come short, even though I may stumble and fall, even though I may be distant from Him, He loves me anyway. Amen. Amen. Even though I sin, David would say, He loves me. Even though I've been defeated, Peter would say, He loves me. Even though I've been discouraged, ready to die and to take my life, Elijah would say, He loves me. Even though I'm distant, the prodigal son would have to testify, He loves me. Even though I've been deceived, Eve would have to say, He loves me anyway. Even though I've been selfish, Samson would say, He still loved me. Even though I've rebelled against His will, Jonah would have to testify, He still loves me. Good night. It's a so love, and it's an even though love. Hallelujah. Number three, I put it's a yes, I know love. I know God loves me. I didn't realize until I began to put these thoughts on paper that very much a progression in here. Our journey begins at recognizing that He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. But then as you progress from there and realize that He loves you even though, as you grow in your faith, then you get to the point where you can say, He loves me, this I know. Do you know God loves you? Do you know that? I'm saying it this morning. I'm doing my best to impart that knowledge to you. You're hearing it with your physical ears. But do you know God loves you? I do. I know God loves me. And I know God loves you. The question for you is, do you know God loves you? I love it. It is John. John was eaten up. He was consumed with this thing of love. But John referred to himself in the book of John. I don't know exactly all the reasons. I just know I love this aspect of his letters. John never named himself in his gospel. You know how he referred to himself? Many of you do. John referred to himself in the book of John this way: the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John writing. He wouldn't refer to himself, but here's how he defined himself: the disciple whom Jesus loved. Many of you know that story of the Last Supper is there in that upper room, and the Lord's talking about there's going to be one betray us. And the Bible says there was a disciple leaning on Jesus' breast. That's John. That's that disciple. And he defines himself in this manner: the disciple whom Jesus loved. In other words, John was telling the whole world and all eternity, I know Jesus loves me. Because his love is not only a so love, nor is it an even though love, just an even though love. It's a yes, I know love. 4 times he refers to himself this way in the book of John. Why? Because John knew he was loved. Listen, I have witnessed the fickle love of human beings. Human love can be here today and gone tomorrow. Human love can be present and abounding one moment and absent and gone the next. Human love can be flourishing one day and floundering the next. But God's love, that's not the case. His love is unchanging and never failing. It's forever. And though I am thankful for human love, I'm thankful for human love, it does not surprise me when it falters. God's love will never falter. He lets me know that He loves me no matter what. I know He loves me because He sent His Son. I know He loves me because He showed it by the sacrifice He made. I know He loves me because He says so in the Scriptures. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. See, if you think the Bible's just another writing from ancient days and it just doesn't really carry a lot concerning the Word of God, then that don't mean nothing to you. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. God's Word says, He loves me. I know He loves me because He says so in the Scriptures. I know He loves me because He sealed me with His Spirit. And I know He loves me because He stirs me in my soul. And you get to pondering on this, it won't be long, the tears begin to flow. Again, you think you're a good catch and a prize for God, you may not feel that way. I'll promise you, you ain't. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I ain't. And that stirs me. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? It is a so love. It's an even though love. It's a yes, I know love. And then fourthly, remember we talked about that progression? Number four, how about this? It's an I must go love. When you recognize that soul love, that's when you act upon that, you get saved. As you grow, you learn that He loves you even though you mess up and you're learning and you stumble along the way. You move from that to realizing, I know God loves me. He has shown that to me. He's made it clear to me. And because of that kind of love, how could I not take that love and share it with others? How can I not? I must go. It's an I must go love. John gets right to the matter there in 1 John chapter number 4. I mentioned that earlier in the message. He said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now watch verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. I wonder if the reason we find it difficult to share our gospel message as Christians, as believers, is because we've lost sight of that so love, that even though love, and that yes, I know love. We lost sight of it. So we don't have that to share. You know, the old adage here is you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Love's a powerful motivator. And when we love and we understand such love that came from our Heavenly Father, how could we not go? How could we not share? Who's with me?
Amen.
I feel like I hit a rock in the row, amen? It's true, though. This kind of love, when we're talking about God's love, this kind of love, once it's grasped, it causes reaction. It causes reaction. You cannot behold what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us and remain neutral. It's an emotion. It's got to come out. See why I think it's so important that we take time to behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us. It's an I must go love. The love of God, this great love, caused David to sing. Amen. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. Why? It's just the love of God. The love of God caused those that were forgiven to be worshipped. In Luke chapter number 7, that woman with the alabaster box of ointment, you couldn't have stopped her. Her worship of Jesus Christ was not going to be stopped. Jesus explained that because she recognized that her sins were forgiven, it caused her to love much. So this kind of love, you cannot remain neutral. Once you behold it, that woman with that alabaster box of ointment, she'd have broke through Fort Knox if Jesus was in there to anoint him and to worship him. He wasn't going to stop her. What motivated her? Her love. This kind of love caused those that were delivered to publish it throughout. I think about that leper in Mark chapter number 1. That leper in Mark chapter number 1 who was healed of his leprosy. And Jesus said, "See, thou tell no man." But he went forward and proclaimed it, published it throughout the land. He couldn't help it. He's motivated by his emotions of what God had done for him. And he published it. And that maniac, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord done for you." And he began to publish it everywhere. It's an "I must go" love. It caused those to be threatened, those who were threatened to keep silent about it. They couldn't help but proclaim it even louder. Peter in the book of Acts called them together, threatened them, said, Don't go on like this. And they said, "Hey, we're gonna obey God. We cannot but speak the wonderful works of God." Motivated by that love. Love caused the Apostle Paul, this kind of love caused the Apostle Paul to go out and reach the world with a gospel message. Then 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 is where we read these words, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The love of Christ, that word "constrained" means that it drew him along. It led him. The love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge if all were dead, or I forget how that ends there, but it's the love of Christ. I say concerning that passage, what about the love of Christ? I don't know. I don't know if it was the love that Paul had for Jesus. Love of Christ constraineth us. I don't know if it was the love that Christ had for Paul. Paul was saying, "For the love of Christ toward me constraineth us." I don't know if it was the love that Christ had for the world. And Paul recognized the love of Christ for the world, and he said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." I'm telling you right now, you ever get a hold of that love, you cannot remain neutral. John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." As I begin to draw to a close this morning, I marvel at the love of my God. As many in here do. The truth is, there may be some in here this morning, they've never gotten beyond the "so love." They've not been in a place where they've recognized that love was extended to them through the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. They've not received Christ and been born into God's family to experience the "even though" love and the "yes, I know" love and the "I must go" love. They've not been there. And that's where it must begin. I beg you this morning to understand this principle that God loves you, but the entering into that relationship for you to be able to take advantage of that love means you must come to Christ by faith and receive Him as Savior. You must receive Him. And that love will then begin to shed abroad in your hearts, in your heart. Begin to work within you and out to a life of absolute glory and praise to Him. But it begins there. the love that God has extended, its desired response is that whosoever believeth on Him would come and be saved, would not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And I beg you to come and receive Him today. Here in a moment we're going to close our eyes for an invitation time. And I beg you, if you're here this morning, you're unsure about eternity, you move immediately. Don't play around with that decision. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Christian, here this morning, believer, for you as well, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you would be called the Son of God. Behold it. Behold it. Look upon it. It is a so loved. Never forget that. It is an even though love. Praise Him for that. It is a yes, I know love. Do you know it? And it's an I must go love. What are you doing with that love? What are you doing with that love? Two things. Only two. Keep it simple, amen? Number one, you're either extending that love to others or you're extinguishing that love by not sharing it. And it's so love. It's so love. That it's just not right to keep it to ourselves. It needs to be shared. Amen. All right, let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed for an invitation time. I would invite you here this morning that are unsure that if you were to die, we don't know when God's going to call us home. We don't know when God's going to bring our life, this existence, to a close. That being said, if you are unsure about your eternity, heads bowed and eyes closed, guys, boys, heads closed, right, it's invitation time. If you're unsure, I would beg you, plead with you, beseech you, you step out from where you are right now and let's settle that today. This December 29th, 2013, let this day be the day that you made a decision for Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Fisher, I know that I'm saved. Let me ask you to do this. Would you behold what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us? To the point that we would be called the sons of God. Maybe God's challenged your heart and touched your heart concerning a deeper walk and abiding with Him. I would encourage you to come. Take this opportunity to draw close to Him with our hands. As the invitation song, let me pray and we'll have invitation. You come. Invitation song, then you come. Father, again, we ask you for your blessings over this time. Grant courage. Grant spiritual leading as only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Chad, you see.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He does love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I could sing, When in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me.
I am so glad that Jesus
loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given.
Yes. Sing it out with me this morning. I'm so glad He loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think half hour. Nobody else is up here. Thank you for being here today. Let me encourage you to, again, preachers or men, if you'd like to preach on Tuesday night, meet me right down here. I'm going to greet a few folks as I head out, and then I'll be right in here. So give me about, and I'll be right here, okay? All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Lee Rosales if he would ask God to dismiss us with His blessings.